The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 Powered Schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
Okay, motherfucker!
What are you looking at, sir?
I'm looking at you, miss.
Run that, baby.
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Decade Project. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is the One Heat Media Productions Patreon, preliminarily exclusive show where we look 10 years in our review, back in the year 2025 to the films of 2015. The film that I'm going to be talking about today is one that causes my great guest, you've heard him many times before, it's the great Rob Belushi from Too Much Movie and so many other things, great actor, producer, game show host, you name it, filmmaker. You're going to hear him gush in a way that maybe you've never heard him gush before as we discuss Todd Haynes's Carol. Before I let him speak, let's take a listen to the trailer.
What's your name?
Therese.
Therese Balivant.
And yours?
Carol.
The night is like a lovely tune. Beware, my foolish heart. But should our eager lips combine, then let the fire start. For this time, it isn't fascination. Or a dream that will fade and fall apart. It's love, this time it's love, my foolish heart.
Oh, Rob, when people saw this movie in 2015, I want to ask you about your preliminary response, but I remember in Australia, it was a bit of a, when I'm looking around the releases, it was a later in the year thing. It was for awards momentum. I'm actually not sure if in Oz, it was as wide a release in our 2015 sort of end of year Oscar season, or if it like came, it fell into January. But the immediate response that I remember at the time when it was released was, Blanchett's as great as she's ever been. Todd Haynes, absolutely unbelievable. Rooney Mara had been heading, you know, really at the peak, you know, sort of post Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. This is like one of her other seriously iconic performances, has a great turn in Her, which is a Decade Project film we discussed a couple of years ago. But I think this, the almost like subtle and unshowy greatness of this movie only gets more appreciable with time. But tell me about your experience. Firstly, your first time seeing Carol. Did you see it at the theater? Did you see it when around the time of release?
I saw it in the theater. I couldn't wait to see it. I'm a big fan of Todd Haynes, and Cate Blanchett is, to me, she's
your favorite Australian. She's your favorite Australian.
She's my favorite human. I've watched four episodes of Disclaimer just because she was in it, and
yes.
And I did not care for that show, but she is wonderful. I love her to death, and I love Rooney Mara. I mean, so I was always going to see it. Couldn't wait to, since Velvet Goldmine. I was like, I love this fucking guy, is amazing to me. And you know, Karen Carpenter, what was the Barbie thing he did? That was crazy.
I gotta find, let's find Todd, because it's also around this time Todd Haynes is unbelievable filmmaker. He's made some incredibly huge movies. Obviously, he made like Far From Heaven. He made I'm Not There. He did Velvet Goldmine and Carol. They're kind of his top ones. But if you look back through here, he's got like May, December, 2019's Dark Waters with Mark Ruffalo is an unbelievable movie. Really into Aaron Brockovich, Insider, Frame. Huge movie for me in that regard.
Great movie. Saw that too. So yeah. I remember seeing it well. It's like Aaron Brockovich, but instead of yellow, it's like
disgusting gray.
No laughs and like fucking vomit color. DuPont. Fucking puke filter.
Some kind of animal facial growths, disgusting. Yeah, not good. Not good.
Look, I saw this movie in the theater, and I was my first viewing of it is the same as my viewing of it last night, and all of the viewings of it in between. And it's simply this to me. Although you know, it is sometimes like, look, it is a spellbinding masterpiece,
yeah,
of love and humanity above all, and then many things that probably as a pretty heteronormative cisgendered white male, I'm maybe not the most expert to discuss, but Todd Haynes is so incredible at putting a viewer into the given circumstances that may seem a tad foreign to them in such a full-bodied and full-spirited way, yeah. You know? And I think the world of this movie, I think it's perfect. I think it's horrendously underrated at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. It should be 110%. This is my favorite love story. It breaks my heart to a million pieces. I cry my eyes out every time I watch it. I think those two actors are unfucking paralleled. And I'm a fanboy of this. Like, it's not, there's not going to be a lot of hard hitting criticism from me.
I don't want the hard hitting. I want that's what it is, because I think there's a couple of things that I'm going to kind of like mix up our usual format here, which is like Todd Haynes. So 10 years later, Todd Haynes still underrated. I think
horrendously.
I think Rooney Mara as a mum, as a partner to Joaquin Phoenix has sort of had, you know, she's chosen a family life and a more stable life. And so acting doesn't necessarily correlate with that. So when you're having kids and things like that, she bounced out. So she wasn't making as many movies. She's also making interesting movies. She's taking sort of more bold choices. So
can I tell you a quick story about that specifically?
Please, please.
She is so frightfully talented.
Yeah.
It's scary. And this movie I watch every time I fly on an airplane. Okay. And it drives my wife crazy, because she'll be like, what are you watching? And I'll always just turn to her and I'll raise my eyebrows and I'll be like, if I'm on a plane, it's gotta be Carol. And it's like this whole thing where I'm, you know, like I'm drinking a sparkling water, Carol, you know, and it drives her fucking crazy. And so this is, I don't mean to be name droppy, but I was at a park and I was playing with my daughter and I was like, you know, I'm a dipshit. So I was like, you know, playing with her and kind of embarrassing her. And this woman says to me, you're going to really embarrass that girl when she's older. I'm like, when I'm older, I'm trying right now. And she's like, it's ridiculous. And I was like, yeah, I know. I'm just trying to play with her, you know, and started talking to her a little bit and like, oh, I'm an actor. And like, it's been okay. And you know, it's hard because you travel and whatever. So I try to make the most. And I'm like, what do you do? And she's like, oh, I'm an actor as well. I'm like, oh, that's, so you get it. I'm like, it's kind of, it was like just small talk. And I walked away. She was with her kid. Wonderful, like just momming hard. And I walked away and Chelsea was like, you know, that was Rooney Mara. And I was like, really? And I looked again. I'm like, oh my God. So I walked back over to her and I was like, hey, it was really nice talking to you. I hate to be like this, but I just have to tell you that Carol is like my favorite movie. It is a tremendous work of art. And I just wanted to thank you for your work and your performance. And she said, thank you. And it was just such a nice experience to meet an artist and tell them how much you love their work. You know?
Yeah, of course.
She was so cool. And like, I hated to bring outside issues into like a fucking playground, but like I had to tell her how fucking wonderful she was in this movie. And I saw, and I was just like, you want to be a mom? Be a fucking mom. You gave us Dragon Tattoo. You gave us Carol. That's more than I'll ever give anyone. And it was such a wonderful, it's so great to be able to tell people that their work really impacts you, you know? So I hope she wasn't bothered by it. And I don't know if you're listening.
I think it's adorable because she was just telling you how much you were, you're going to embarrass her. That's adorable.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Let me
She's like,
you lady, you fucking masterpiece of an actor.
But you look at her career. So she really, and this is where it kind of, it's crazy. So you go Social Network. So she's in the 2010 Nightmare on Elm Street. She's in a couple of other movies, Youth in Revolt. She pops up in ER. She's in a couple of things. But where it really gets bigger is Nightmare on Elm Street, 2010. Social Network, 2010. Then she's in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which is monstrous, 2011. Eight Them Body Saints, terrific movie, 2013. Side Effects, 2013. Her, 2013. Then she's in Carol. She's in Trash, 2014. Carol, 2015. She does some voice stuff in like Kubo and the Two Strings, Una. She's in Lion. She's in The Discovery of Ghost Story, Song to Song, Mary Magdalene. Gets up to 2018 and she's basically out of the game for 3 years. She comes back for Nightmare Alley in 2021, sort of shows people that she's still terrific. She's in Women Talking, which I think she's excellent in. And she's in a movie from last year, which I haven't seen yet, called La Cucina. But she's not working nearly as much, but when you go back and you see the caliber of performance that she could put on, even relatively early, like her breakout's 2011, Carol's 2015, it's a pretty monstrous thing that she came out and did so many like very renowned, very internationally recognized, terrific performances at the peak of her powers so early. And she's enjoying sort of a life that's a little bit less chaotic along the way.
I mean, look, I love it for her, and I don't know what's going on for her. I don't know her at all, but from what it seems like to me is she's making choices about things that inspire her. And those choices are not easy ones. Carol is not an easy performance.
No.
I mean, obviously all the things that came after it either. And it's very different than like people, you know, young actors in LA, like trying to make a career and trying to like build a quote and trying to get in, you know, Deadline. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, she's an artist and she's with another master, and the relationship is so, I love that this movie opens with trains and people on tracks.
Yeah.
And people on tracks that are going in circles.
Yeah.
And they're locked in to this given path.
Yep.
And they make a choice out of desperation and loneliness and courage to break out of that track and go on a drive, you know, on their own way. And it's such a great, beautiful metaphor. There's so many great things about this movie. But from that first shot, when you just see Therese staring at the camera with her odd lipstick, it's such an entranced look, and the whole movie is just this 50s formal speech bursting with desperate subtext.
Yeah.
And it's so arresting. And I fall in love every time I watch it. And my heart is fucking broken for both of them.
Oh.
When they're put into these impossible, horrible fucking situations and forced to separate, and that little, the tiniest hidden smiles in public that they are able to offer themselves in the very last shot. It's exhilarating.
Yeah.
On top of that, Haynes is so great because even though the men, all of the men in this movie are obstacles and seeking to control and own these women, right? And they're also like they're not great guys, you know? And they're not
Awful guys.
I don't know. I mean,
it's like they reek of an entitlement of their time, right?
Yes.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 powered schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
You kind of get someone like Kyle Chandler, who he's almost expecting and entitled that like his whole life is this woman. Like, I got this woman, I got this perfect thing, I'm wealthy, I'm happy, I should not be inconvenienced. And that's what's so kind of wonderful about these 50s texts, is because there's this kind of the American post-war boom and this like prosperity and happiness and this kind of universal aspiration of like life is hopeful and there's such a world beyond it. It's like once you attain your dreams, that's where all these great texts that are either set in the 50s or from the 50s are so wonderful, is because you attain your dream. And then when your dream is challenged because the environment, sociopolitically, the world is changing and your dream is being torpedoed, the characters act in really like magnetic ways. And like, so when you see like there's Jake Lacy's character, Richard Semko, or John Magaro's like Danny McElroy, like these guys who are like interested in these people, or Corey Michael Smith's Tommy Tucker, you see all these guys, like they're around these beautiful women and they're expecting that they just become a possession and they become like a signal of their achieving or attaining the American dream. And they don't realize that they're like sentient whole individuals, and that awakening is just so wonderful because it kind of destroys their worlds. Like everyone's worlds are being blown apart, but everyone is so beautifully dressed and so cordial and so nice, and so that it just all happens in front of your face and you're watching this and you're like, it only becomes more and more heartbreaking because of how deluded they are and how stuck they are, heartbreaking because the women actually have to, you know, almost like fight for their own acknowledgement of humanity. But man, just, I can't help but also like feel, that's the mastery of Todd Haynes. I can't help but feel for like Kyle Chandler in this movie. As nasty as some of the things he does, I feel, you can feel his desperation and his loss and him clinging with every ounce of his grip strength to hold on to Cate Blanchett's Carol. Like it's stunning.
Look, especially by not today's standards, he would be the villain of the piece, but I don't think the filmmaker treats him like a villain.
No,
he loves his wife, but he doesn't know how to love her.
Yeah.
Really. As to your point, like as a thing that exists outside of his expectation, you know,
yes.
And it's brutal to watch him flail. He is vulnerable and a mess and doing the best he can. And even in the end, when he looks at her, when she says, "We'll go to court and then it'll be ugly. And we are not ugly people." You know, that look, it's yeah. like he sees her finally. Like he gets the submission he's looking for, but it's Pyrrhic, because all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe that's just me reading into it, but like he finally gets to see her and that it's not going to work. And look, divorce is ugly. There's infidelity involved in this. Like she is not without her own guilt, but when you hear the men talking in this movie, that entitlement is also in their speech. Like not just the things they say, but how easy and colloquial and just casual they get to speak.
Yeah.
Even Kyle Chandler, who is an aristocrat, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the women, Carol and Therese, are in this like incredibly just this poised artifice. And yeah. that's why that subtext is like a hot fucking breath on the back of your ear. You know, it's like, it's all looks. It's the slightest of touches. It's acceptances to invitations that on the surface are meaningless. But in this unspoken secret world of, you know, honest, forbidden and villainized and, you know, there's real fucking stakes to this love story. The, losing your marriage, losing your daughter, being much worse, obviously. There's yeah. violence, you know, that this life that is experienced. And it's not, it leaves me watching it breathless.
Yeah.
Truly breathless. And they are breathless too, because it's so clear how lonely they are. And Therese, again, I'm not an expert, but I don't know that she knows that she's gay, but she knows that she's alone.
Yes.
And that she doesn't fit in. And then suddenly Carol's gaze, which she looks at her first, you know,
yeah.
she falls in love with her immediately. And then Carol disappears by the train tracks of the department store. And you feel lost with Therese, and then she's back with her gloves and that fucking great humiliating hat on. And she says, "I like your hat. I like, you know," but they're so alone. And that is so sad. And what Carol says, like, "I cannot live against my grain anymore. I won't do it. I don't care." I mean, there's not a single man in here that isn't trying to there's the fucking the predatory traveling salesman PI guy. Even the nicest guy there is fucking tries to kiss her, you know, while she's got a boyfriend. And the dude from the New York Times and you know, Semko is like, "Well, you know, she's talking about her deepest desires," and he's like, "Yeah, what about going to France with me?" I mean, he's a buffoon.
Yeah.
But he's doing his best. He's doing what has been told to these guys is what you do. And
yeah. When you grow up, you find a great girl, you marry that girl, then you live a life together. And it's like all
you
these
take
guys-
her to France. You do. Yeah. You drive her on your bike. You know. Can you hear that barking?
Yeah, it's okay. Okay. It's okay.
Brenda loves Carol too.
Brenda. Your dog's name is Brenda.
He, yeah, she's the fucking school nurse, dude. she, but back to Haynes. Haynes is you're immediately in the world. The frame it transports you to the time and the place of this moment in New York. And he does things that are so magical, like when she accepts the invitation.
Yeah.
And it starts to snow.
Yeah.
I'm just like, fucking strut, Todd. You know? Strut.
Yes.
And the love scene is sexual and energetic, but it's poetry.
Yeah.
It's two people finally knowing one another. It's so much more than sex. And like, it's also, you know, he's also, she says, you know, I never looked like that. Like, they are taking in each other's beauty and living in the real world, you know, but I just love it. I love it all. I don't have a single, everyone's great. You know, Jake Lacy's fucking great. How about that scowl when he's dancing with his new girlfriend, who's just like, you know, the basic 50s gal. And
the thing I think that our friend Jordan Harper talks about, maintaining the dream, right? He's like, maintain the dream.
Yeah, that's
it. Like the thing in this movie is there's the dream of the 50s, like what it is. There's all the facade, all of that. But Carol does something which is it absolutely ensnares you with the way that it looks at its characters and the way that it's observing the world. But that blip that we get to share, this private thing with Therese and Carol together, is so intoxicating and crazy that when the harsher reality of what the world actually is inside it, it actually sustains you for the rest of the movie. Like, it sustains, you're like, I understand why these two will never forget each other. I understand why this was important, because to you in that moment, despite all the shitstorm that's going to come down, but despite all of the warnings from Sarah Paulson, beside all the, you know, the consequences, it just has this absolutely amazing, amazing ability to like you can just sort of close your eyes and you can get back to that dream. You can restore and maintain that dream that they had, even though the reality is harsh and awful. It's just a magical, magical, subtle, rich film.
And it's introduced like a dream.
Yes.
You know, it's that pull ahead, you know, pull ahead scene that we come back to, and then there's the dissolves and the train and the look, and then, you know, and then you're with it's all introduced as a dream. And absolutely, you know, like Jordan says, it is unbroken. Yeah. I mean, that hand of Harge, yeah, and the desperation of Carol, who is incredibly poised. I mean, yeah. She cries a little bit and is frustrated about running out of fucking cigarettes in this impossible situation she's in.
Relatable.
I mean, you think things can't get any worse, and then you run out of cigarettes. I'm like, oh my God, girl, I know.
Girl, tell me about it.
These kids don't smoke anymore. It's fucking crazy. What was I going to say? But she's incredibly poised, incredibly brave, incredibly strong. And like these small moments with like Jeanette, the wife who gives her a small kindness, inviting her to Christmas, or the Sarah Paulson moments where she can be a little, you know, unguarded. It serves a total meal of where this woman is. And I truly do believe, I mean, it is my favorite love story. It's like this, and then Punch Drunk Love right below it.
Yeah.
You know,
and, beautiful movie.
Yeah. And I think that's, for me, what love is like, is what I want to see, at least two people who have no shot alone. And they should be able to find each other. And there's all these things in the way, and they do, and life becomes worth living. You know what I mean? And those two movies are similar in that way. But, you know, I'm a fucking dipshit brat guy, you know, phalange of the patriarchy. But Todd Haynes can make a love story about, you know, two lonely lesbians, or not even, I don't even know if they're lesbians, but like two women who love each other, and make me fall in love with them so hard. And I think that is why he's so wonderful. You know, I don't know, like, what the gay community thinks about him, really. Maybe I should look into it, but I mean, he makes me understand their terror in a way that is profound. And not that I'm not aware of the fucking world, but
no, you know, but he makes it tactile. Like, art is so powerful at like giving you a perspective that isn't your own. So
yes,
you
know, exactly.
And we could, you and I, besides playing out this love story in LA, just in looks and glances, couldn't be further away from these two. Rooney Mara. I mean, you go to a park with Rooney Mara. I live in Sydney. Kate Blanchett lives in Sydney. You know, I mean, it's just like us. This is a love story across the Pacific Ocean.
I guess. I guess age wise, I'd be the Blanchett, but
you would be.
I don't think I miss.
You look so much younger than you are, Rob. You're like Rooney Mara. Like, you're the unrecognizable young guy.
Well, thank you. It's a diet of pure solipsism. But when she says yes to Kate Blanchett,
yeah.
Whenever she said, or when she says, "I want to ask you things. I don't know if you want that," and she says, "Yes, ask, please ask." You know, when Rooney Mara's performance of Therese is, she is so clear, and Kate Blanchett is not used to that. She's not used to definitive answers, yes or you know, and like, it's like watching Cupid's arrow strike Blanchett. Just those small acceptances is what they offer each other. And god damn, he's amazing,
you know? And like 10 years later, like, just taking a look at some of these things. So this movie has only grown in people's conception. It was nominated for some awards. Rooney Mara had been a fan of Kate Blanchett since she was 13 years old. And this is based off The Price of Salt by Patricia Highsmith, which was reissued. It sold millions of copies in publication and then adapted. At the time it was released, I'm just going to have a look and see, like, it was nominated for 6 Oscars. At the time, it was nominated for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, Best Writing for Phyllis Nagy, who wrote the script and adapted it. Cinematography for Edward Lachman, Sandy Powell in costume design, and then music for Carter Burwell. He was amazing. And so it did get that recognition in the 2016 Oscars. Like, it had that stuff there. It did win some other awards, you know, American Society of Cinematographers and things like that. And you know, different Film Critic Association awards all around the place. But it felt like it was right there. And then I'm just wondering, like, so 2016 Oscars, I'm just trying to see who won that year. So, like, Best Actress ended up going to Brie Larson in The Room. Best Actor in a Supporting Role went to Alicia Vikander in Danish Girl. Terrific performance. But in that same year, you've got Jennifer Jason Leigh in The Hateful Eight. You've got Rooney Mara in Carol. You've got Kate Winslet in Steve Jobs. And you had Rachel McAdams in Spotlight. So it's a pretty stacked look there. But when I look at Saoirse Ronan in Brooklyn or Charlotte Rampling in 45 years later, or Jennifer Lawrence in Joy and Brie Larson in Room, I don't think it's unfair of us to say that Carol is the performance that still absolutely stands head and shoulders above all of those. It's a really incredible, it's an incredible thing. And it got some great recognition. The Big Short ended up winning adapted screenplay, beating Carol, and cinematography. I'm just trying to see who won in cinematography at the time. But look, at the time it was recognized, it went up for Chivo Lubezki for The Revenant. But it was recognized at the time. I think people knew what it was. But now there's a completely different experience I have, Rob, which is now if I mention Carol, there's some people who maybe haven't seen it or haven't heard of it. But what is undeniable is that now in 2025, when I say Carol and I meet someone like you or know someone like you as a fan, there's no half measures. It's not like, yeah, Carol was fine. Yeah. It's like, no, Carol is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's amazing. I love it. I adore it. Of all time.
I put it in all kinds of, love stories, yes. Christmas movies. It's up there with Bad Santa. Fucking Menace villain movies. Yes, yes, I love it. It's up there with fucking, I don't know, the American Psycho. I think you're talking to Bill. Are you talking to Bill about this movie too?
I will grab Bill. Yeah, I will.
He's going to be way more aware of its of what it's doing in the oeuvre of film, and he's a poet and an artist himself. And all I can give you really is the full throated enthusiasm of someone who has changed every time I watch. I heard Tony Robbins say I never watch a movie twice because I don't have that much time and, but how stupid to review. And I always think of that fucking odious quote when I'm watching a movie like Carol, you know what I mean? Because my experience of it deepens every time, and it doesn't matter if it's on a big TV or a big screen or a little screen on an airplane, Carol, it transports me into somewhere I want to go, but I'm scared to go. I'm ready for it, and I'm also not. I forget even how much the movie impacts me until I watch it again. I've probably seen this movie 20 times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful. And to think, have you ever been more sad than when Kate Blanchett says, "And that's that"? It's you see her looking at something that is broken beyond repair, and you hear the voice of someone who has experienced more life, who understands this wonderful thing that she let slip through her fingers, and she's staring into the eyes, and you just think about that fucking empty apartment. She's finally able to live her life where she is being beautiful and stylish and alone without the male gaze or the male, urge to conform. And again, is faced with emptiness. And that's that. And it's just also, and that's that, Mattress Man, another link, another link. It's funny. And I don't know, but I felt kind of similarly, I walked out crying of Love Lies Bleeding in a very similar way, where maybe I need a different slant at love for me because I'm a sociopath . but it is, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And they deserve all those awards.
Yeah. I think in this, the lesson is that in aging, it's only gotten better, and it only surprise. If you love it, it continues to surprise you. And if you've never seen it, which I can't imagine at this point, if you're listening to the show, you haven't. But you never know what people miss. But if you haven't seen it, you're in for a delight. You're in for a delight. Real treat. of just the most competent technical filmmaking, the most beautifully adapted sort of like for the screen, isolated, intensified moments that leave plenty of negative space for the actors to do their work, and just incredible performances that are so tender and beautiful and heartbreaking that it just will continue to blow you away. The problem that I'm going to have is now every time I start watching Carol, I'm going to start thinking of you singing to your lovely
Carol.
Wife. Carol.
It's going to be Carol. You know, the movie starts with her getting up from that table when they're like, you don't know how important that cup of tea is or whatever. And she gets up and places her hand on Therese's shoulder as she says goodbye. Right. Yeah. And you see that it's important. But then it comes full circle and you're back at that moment and you see her touch her shoulder again. Yeah. And Therese getting up and going and being touched by that woman, and then going into a party. And I think Carrie Brownstein's character is supposed, I think she's coded as like the lesbian at the party or whatever, you know? And, but she's just like, it's not about that. It's her.
Yeah.
It's Carol Aird. You know what I mean? And I just find it profoundly effective that, you know, it's not a new framing of like start towards the end and then catch you up and all that stuff, but it's all around that touch. And it's so simple. He's so simple, but it's all so, it seems simple, but it's so effective and complicated and beautifully orchestrated between the clothes and the city streets and the music and all their small looks like.
But everything about that time is about cordiality. It's about politeness. It's about this restraint. It's about this sort of, you know, this kind of prudish society. So that one touch is like an electric charge, like touch. I'm going to cut through your stupid, gigantic, you know, thick woolen, stylish clothes. I'm going to touch, and just the touch, the heat passing between you and another person. It's like, electric. Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. It's a jolt. It just smashes you. Yeah.
They're finally home.
Yeah.
I think we should hit him up and say Carol too. Carol Therese, you know? Life on Madison Ave. And, you know, just like make it a fucking reality show, which is a totally disgusting aberration that he would, you know, puke if we even joke about.
It would be so funny. If you ever decide to make a stupid sketch, it should just be real world, but like Carol, like the real world have these characters in there. Smarmy.
Like cut to the confession. Like, I think he looked at me. I don't know. He could have been looking at the vase of flowers behind me, but you know, that other, like that age of innocence touch, right?
Yeah.
Like
that, oh, wow. Great call out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that thing of like, no one's allowed to live. Everyone is dancing around this fucking construct, like you said, this constructed dream, you know, but no one's allowed to be a dreamer.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. But you know, I don't want to, I think I've probably said everything I can, other than I'm in love with their artistry, and they should have won every fucking award, and they should get awards every year for this movie. The Carol Award.
You know? It's just like a heavyweight championship belt, where it's like, if your performance wasn't better than this, you don't get the belt. Kate still wins.
I think that's, I mean, look, we should do Hannah too. We should do Hannah. Yeah. Like, there's two things whenever I see Kate Blanchett. It's her touching Therese's shoulder and then her flossing her teeth in Hannah, and they're both like amazing. Oh, she's so good.
She's the best.
Well, anyway, thank you for letting me talk about this movie. I'm sure there are probably better people to speak about.
No, there's no, sure. Stop. There is no one else in the world that I know that has turned, that has and could turn watching Carol onto a plane as a bit that I'm now on my like morning commute am going to just start being on the train going, Carol. I'm going to sing to the person on the train seat next to me. Carol on a plane.
Yes, I'd love some peanuts and Carol.
You're a silly goose, and I love you to pieces. Rob Belushi, thank you so much for doing this. Folks, this is The Decade Project. If you're listening to it on the main feed, jump back to our Patreon. You can get them live as they drop because this one will come out very soon after we record it. We have an entire collection there. Pops up later in the year, so if you're listening on our main feed later in the year, check out the Patreon because you'll get the following year's Decade Project live as they happen. Rob Belushi, you're amazing. Can't wait to Too Much Movie with you again soon.
I can't wait, man. Thank you.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 powered schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.